I'm in this series that I will do until our last Sunday to be your pastor. And it's a series that is after 22 years, these are the things I most want you to be left with. And this morning, Brenda has expressed really well. But I want you to see it because it's so huge. This one is so big that nothing else works without this one in place. This is a principle. It's a principle that is so true and so valid in the way God developed and built and created this universe that he understood it completely. It was the principle that was behind Jesus coming to earth. This is the principle that when God was making this plan, knowing that man would do what man does, and in the choice of good and evil, that there would be a great deal of evil chosen, God understood something from its very foundation. You can't overcome evil with more evil because he had built it in. The only way you can overcome evil is by doing good. God believes it because he understands it and knows it. It is why precisely Jesus does what he does when he's here. Because he understands this. Now, it's in the nature of God to get angry just like you and I get angry. Oh, we'd like to say that that isn't in the nature of God, but you'd have to skip a whole lot of scripture if you did away with the anger of God. But what you have out of that and what God keeps within himself at bay at all times is the harm that he can do with his anger. And instead, always responds toward us, ultimately with good. He acts well, acts good toward us. So he loves us. And throughout Scripture, you'll find all of these favorite passages of yours all come out of this principle. So when Jesus teaches his disciples to love and says, I have a new commandment for you, just love each other, period. And when we're taught this wonderful piece that says, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Don't do unto others as they would do unto you, but do unto them as you would have them do unto you. When we hear these things, when we hear in John, as we heard last week, when Jesus comes and John speaks of him, he says, he was the light of the world when he came. And when he came, it was a light that the darkness could not overcome. Note that, okay? It's this piece that it just permeates everything else in Scripture. It is the piece that helps us to have the lens of Jesus even clearer. So that when we're looking at the rest of Scripture and when we're looking at what God sees in this world and how he would respond in this world, we can know that this is always behind his response. That he understands this, and he understands it well. That you don't overcome evil with evil, you overcome evil with good. Bill, put these up there for me. I just gave you four different translations. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That passage is Romans 12:21, by the way. These are all Romans 12:21. That's the NIV. NLT, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. The NCV, do not let evil defeat you, but defeat evil by doing good. And then the Message, don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. Now, leave that up there, Bill, for the whole time, okay? We'll refer back to it. I want you to see a few things that are very, very important. And you can watch them in the life of Jesus if you watch his life all the way through. If I can put it simply, it would be this. Evil is a sham. Don't waste your time on it. Did you follow that? Evil is a sham. Don't waste your time on it. And when I'm talking don't waste your time on it, you're going to understand it here in a minute better than just this way. Because some of you are saying, yeah, what he means by that is it's a sham. Don't follow it. I want to take it farther than that. I don't want you to waste your time on it. And it's what in this world we tend to spend more of our energies, more of our resources on than anything else. But what we want is we want to stop letting evil have power over us. Illustrations of this. Do you have any trouble with unforgiveness in your life? There's some of you here that would admit with me that once in a while you just really struggle forgiving somebody. Now let me ask you a question. When that happens, does that person that you have trouble forgiving end up in your thoughts more than they should? Forgiving them, they end up in your thoughts more than they should be, don't they? That's because of this power that evil has when you match it with evil. Evil's very powerful when you try to match it with evil. It's kind of an interesting thing. It's very powerful. Whenever you try to match evil with more evil, it gains incredible power over you. And that's something you don't want to have happen. And God understands this principle, that this power of evil in your life, the minute you attempt to answer evil back with evil. So when Brenda mentioned to the kids this piece of forgiveness, that's an easy one for us to understand. If I am not forgiving someone, they end up having power over me even though they don't know it. They don't have any clue that they have power over me. But they begin to become the master of my thoughts. They begin to become the controller of my thoughts because I have trouble forgiving them. So things like bitterness begin to rise. Thoughts of unfairness begin to rise. And pretty soon what happens is the focus becomes me. And I struggle taking the focus off of myself. And then what happens is I feel guilty. I begin to blame. Blame and guilt are constant indicators here. So evil, either within or without, will do its best to demand your time. You can count on that. Evil, whether it's within you or outside of you, will do its best to command your time. And it will take anything possible from you in reserves. So what you want to do, and what Jesus shows us clearly, and what the New Testament attempts to teach us very, very well in every aspect, in every way, is this. With evil, make it inconsequential, make it unimportant, make it irrelevant, not by trying to stop it. Follow me. Not by trying to stop it. That will soon demand all your time, all your energy, and all your resources. And it'll drain the life out of you. It'll drown you in guilt, and it'll drown you in blame. So, don't try to stop it. But what you want to do is make it inconsequential, unimportant, and irrelevant by getting the best of it conquering it, defeating it, overcoming it, not by defending against it. Not by defending against it. That's where we make the mistake. We try to go on defense with evil. But what Jesus came to show us was that defense isn't how you treat evil. You treat it by simply going on the offense. Spend your time, spend your energies, spend your resources on doing good. And you will make evil inconsequential, unimportant, and irrelevant. So, my question for you is, what every good Jewish child is taught, at least if they're conservative Jewish in any way, in the battle between good and evil, what's your plan for life, for accomplishing good? And there's several things that have to take place in that. There are some basic things. There needs to be part of your plan that nothing will ever cause you to fight evil with evil. I think it's because we don't plan for this that it happens to us so easily. Is it natural that evil's going to come your way? It's pretty natural, isn't it? And it can come in every different way you can imagine. It may come because just today, if you can imagine it, Sharon's having a bad day. And so she says something she might not normally say. Just knocks the socks off of me. And I can't believe she said it to me. And all of those things, and pretty soon I'm at home at night stewing over it, thinking, I can't believe Sharon said that. She was such a nice lady. You wonder what she said? I have no idea, because she's never said anything to me that makes me think that way. Okay, but it's got to be part of the plan of your life that you're never going to allow evil to rob you of your resources. You're going to keep giving. You're going to keep doing good. It's going to be a part of your plan that in life, I never let myself get to a place where I will not forgive. I will forgive, period. If you plan for it, you do better. The problem is we don't usually plan for this. We don't usually plan this life that says, you know what, I'm going to do good all of my life, and nothing that stops me from doing good is going to be allowed in my life. And I can start naming those things. So if somebody does something wrong to me, I'm going to forgive them. Doesn't mean it'll be easy, but I'm planning for it right up front. It makes it a lot easier if I know this and I understand this. That in my life purpose, I'm going to face evil. But the choice of my life is always that I will overcome evil with good. I will overcome evil with good. What is it that makes Jesus so incredibly effective is that he simply never allows a response to evil except doing good. So he hangs here. And I think it's interesting that Scripture tells us that he could have called 10,000 angels. We know that. He can destroy the world, but that is not the choice. It's kind of like the story of David. I think it's God saying to us, look, I can do this to you, but I want you to see something. My response to you will never be to return evil for the evil that you've given me. My response to you is I will redeem you. No matter what. And that's what he teaches us that's so important. That's underneath everything. You can get the best of evil. But it only happens one way. If you respond to it defensively, it will get the best of you. If you respond to it simply by saying and by doing good, you will get the best of it. It's as simple as that. And it won't always look like that's going to happen in the middle of it. Just like if you're Jesus and you're in the Garden of Gethsemane, does it look like it's going to happen that you're going to get the best of evil? No. You trust the truth. And the truth of the universe is this. In God's very design from the beginning of time, there will always be a choice between good and evil. Choose good, it will overcome evil. It will overcome evil. Wow! So, there's so many things that come out of this. What's your plan in life for doing good? We often call this today the strength principle. You will fight all your life trying to get a little better in areas of weakness. How many know that? We can do it in all kinds of areas, but how many know that there's certain things in life you're not very good at? How many of you spend more time trying to get good at the things that you're not good at? Yeah, I can name a whole bunch of those, okay? In my own life that I've tried over time to get good at, and I might improve about this much, you know? Maybe. At least I can hide it from others that it looks like I improved that much. Okay. But that's this thing that it seems like it's human nature that we constantly fight to get better at what we're bad in. But what God is saying to us is, do good with who you are. So all the way through in the New Testament, understanding this principle, they're teaching us. Do good out of the giftings that God has given you. Do good out of those. So if you have a place that you're weak, this is also true for areas of that we would call sin. So looking at weakness from that area, how many of you, there are areas of your life that you struggle with over and over again, blowing it. Thought life, certain kinds of actions, certain addictions, any kind of addiction. It doesn't matter. And you struggle over and over again with those areas. Understand something. This is how God intended that to work. Don't spend all of your time trying to get better. There is a problem here that we rarely see. We think that we're supposed to put all of our energies into overcoming something here and focusing on the evil in our lives. What God says to us is really interesting. Focus on doing good. I give you a way to overcome the other. Here is the way. Give it very little time. So this is what he tells us to do. So if you've got areas of your life that you struggle in over and over, he said, give it to me and give it to the community of people around you. Here's what you do. If you sin, confess your sin. I am faithful, I'm just to forgive. How many of you have no trouble confessing your sins And then they're gone. They're just gone. You don't have to struggle with them anymore. How many of you, like most of us, confess your sins and then kick yourself for the next days and weeks and months and years? And you confess them again, and you confess them again, and you confess them again. And then how many of you don't do this piece? Because this is very unnatural, because we can do it with God in the closet. But because of this thing that permeates our culture that says that basically we can't let other people know what we do wrong. So that means that we got to hide it. And we confess it to God. What's the second thing that we're told to do? Confess your faults to each other and pray for each other that you might be healed. Do you see how God takes this whole thing and reduces it to something very small and very easy, and then says, get back to what you're doing. Doing good. Spend your life doing good. Let the community handle your weaknesses. Now, the community handles the weaknesses in many ways. If you're really good at something, give that to the community of people that are God's family and also to the world as a whole. Give that to them. Let the community handle what you can't do. I am so glad I didn't marry somebody just like me. How many of you that are married here are glad you didn't marry somebody just like you? Wow. Would we ever be a mess in my family if Brenda was just like me? We wouldn't have a clue what was going on. The poor tax guy, we just did our taxes, you know. We do it at Clergy Advantage in Loveland because they understand clergy taxes better than anybody, and they're really, really, really strange. They write whole books, and there's manual this thick that we get every year that tells you what to do with clergy taxes. Yeah, it's absurd, you know, but it has a lot of good sides to it, okay? So we go to Clergy Advantage. They take care of it. You know what? They love us up there. We've had the same tax man for many, many years. They love us. I'd like to tell you they love us because of me. Now, this is absolutely no... I'm not worried about Zan and having an affair with my wife or anything like that. He doesn't love her that way, okay? I mean, he's come to be a friend, and he cares about us and all those other things. But I can tell you this. What Zan loves is he usually charges us less because Brenda brings absolutely everything. I mean, I help her. Can I just be real strong in emphasizing help her? If she tells me to do something, I do it. Okay? I can use the adding machine really well if I know what I'm adding, you know? If I get the list, I can do all. I do those things. She tells me I do them, you know. And I write down the numbers she tells me to write down. But what I can tell you is, she has such an organized mind that he just loves it because it doesn't matter what he shoots a question at us for. She's got the answer right there. Oh, here it is. Here. We're done in a few minutes. We're all happy. I'm glad she didn't marry some guy that was just like her, though. Oh, I tell you what, it'd be a mess. I want you to know that's the community. I am so glad we have each other. Be the best at what God made us to be, and don't try to be Ralph when you're not. Let Ralph be Ralph. And let him do it in the whole, in the community. Let him be that. In all of his strength. And where he's weak, let's gather around him. Let's not say, oh, what did you do, Ralph? Just quit it. Because the principle that works, if we're going to overcome evil, no matter how it works in this world, is this. We overcome evil with good. What I can tell you in this is that there isn't anybody in here that doesn't have an incredible amount of good in them. But oftentimes in the world that we live in, we have been on the defense so much that all we can do is just walk around trying to hold our head up because we see ourselves so terribly. Or we're critical of each other. Or we're gossiping about what's going on out there. What God teaches us is this. This principle I trust 100%, because God himself trusts it 100%. If we want to overcome evil, it'll be because we do good and we plan for that. So when God plans to redeem a world that he knows is going to reject his son, he still knows that he'll redeem it by sending his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And for you to know that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God planned to overcome evil with us. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's Ephesians, the second chapter in the 10th verse. I love that verse. I love it. It's part of this entire principle. Don't believe the lie that you have to overcome evil before you can be good. Or before you can do good. That's another thing I hear all the time. Well, Pastor, I'd do that, but I have so many problems in my life, and I have some this and that. It is the excuse that the enemy tries so hard to make us think is really a good, valid reason for not doing good. But understand this. God doesn't say, when you get perfect, you can do something good. It says, if you want to overcome evil, just do good, period. Do it. Do it. You can overcome evil by doing good. Otherwise, get this. And this is what we often see. Evil will overcome you. If guilt runs your life, know that evil is overcoming you. If you have habits that you would like to overcome, there's a couple things that need to happen for that to happen well in this world. Number one, in the church itself, because I believe the church is where it has to start. We got to quit trying to find other people's sins. Period. They're there. We got to quit doing it in the world too, but we're going to have to be the example in the church. We got to quit finding other people's sins. We got to quit noticing other people's addictions. We got to quit setting up things that make it so that people have to hide their sins. It's a piece and a part of who we are in this sinful world. We got to quit telling people, just make sure you hide it and then God will help you with it and take care of it. Nah, get over this. Know that this is part of the community peace. Part of the community peace is that we confess our sins to each other, we confess our faults to each other, and we confess them to God. And they're to be prayed for, that you might be healed, and God's going to simply say, I'm done away with them right there on the spot. And we're going to be done with it, and we go on with doing good. And if tomorrow we need to confess again, we confess again tomorrow. But we don't emphasize this thing. We don't play it up, because the way we overcome evil, both in our own lives and the way we overcome evil in this world, is we do it by doing good, even when we are struggling with evil on the inside. We overcome evil by doing good.